It's the odd to Newfoundland. Ghostly greetings from your host, Jonathan. Mysteries, ghosts, monsters and lore. East Coast Esoterica and so much more. If it's up to you, friend, it's on the up to Newfoundland.
Days of Halloween.
Why are people so afraid of dolls? Ugh, I've been dealing with this in my own home recently as my wife has gotten into painting lifelike realistic dolls. These reborn dolls look so real that it's kind of creepy. You see these headless dolls and arms and appendages all strewn about the table, and I can really get the sense that people truly are afraid of dolls for a pretty good reason. And there's actually some science behind it as well. So before we dig into some famous dolls, let's talk a little bit about what could be going on. Present in nearly every culture, they were placed as servants in a pharaoh's tomb, were said to aid in fertility, teach a child how to parent, or be a listener to tell all your worries to. They could as much be items of art or religious significance as a child's plaything. Why then are they so freaking scary? Well, there's a scientific reason. Dr. Margie Kerr, a sociologist who specializes in fear, says that while our childhood experiences with dolls may have been a source of joy, comfort, or even safety, seeing dolls out of context can freak us out as an ultimate betrayal of innocence. Fear can be understood as the measure of the distance between what we expect and what we experience, and if a doll is too lifelike and our brain can't figure out if it's a human or not, they can generate a powerful sense of unease, Kerr says. This dissonance turns to fear as the doll moves further away from what we expect, the object that brought joy and comfort, now trying to kill us just like Chucky. Beyond the psychological explanation, there is also a supernatural connection with dolls. According to the author and paranormal research Rosemary Ellen Guiley, dolls have historically served as links to the spirit world and afterlife and as conduits of magic. Throughout history, dolls have been made to attract and house spirits that can be summoned forth in a ritual, Guiley told us. She adds they top the list of things most likely to have residual haunting attachments, which is supposedly the ghostly energy imprint that plays over and over like a scratch record. Guiley notes many reasons for this, including the sheer proliferation of dolls throughout the ages, and the simple fact that most people have likely owned one at some point. Another reason is that dolls replicate people, Guiley says. Dolls, even funny dolls, are representative human beings. In a child's play, they substitute for a living person and even take on a persona of their own. So, do you believe in haunted dolls? Well, there are many reasons to believe in haunted dolls, and I'm going to talk to you about some of the world's most famous ones right now. When we think of haunted and creepy dolls, there's one that kind of comes to mind right away, and that's Annabelle. When The Conjuring introduced Annabelle to mainstream audiences in 2013, it was the visage of an antique porcelain doll with a parlor and ruby-red mischievous smile, which was the focus of Ed and Lorraine Warren's most recent case file. But that couldn't be farther from the truth, as the actual Annabelle is far more mundane, looks like a Raggedy Ann doll about the size of a 4-year-old child, and attached an inhuman entity within it. Before she made her big-screen debut, Annabelle was introduced in Gerald Brittle's 1980 book, The Demonologist, The Extraordinary Career of Ed and Lorraine Warren. The Warren's account of Annabelle has it that in 1970, a mother purchased the Raggedy Ann doll from a hobby store as a birthday gift to her adult daughter, Donna Jennings. Jennings, a nurse, lived with fellow nurse Angie Stapleton. Stapleton's fiancé, Lou Carlo, was also a frequent visitor to their modern apartment. The Warrens were allegedly called into the case by Episcopal clergy because a doll had begun to move around the girl's room. At first, Jennings said the doll's position would change while she was at work, or would appear to be standing or kneeling on its own. Stapleton said the doll would change rooms while they were gone, and then handwritten notes and parchment began to appear, with writing that looked like a child's saying, "Help us" or "Help Lou." Trio told the paranormal investigations they didn't own a pencil and didn't have parchment around. One night they discovered blood on the doll's hand and chest, and even more strangely, a piece of chocolate seemed to appear with the doll as well. The name Annabelle Higgins was introduced by a medium the nurses consulted. The medium claimed Annabelle was the spirit of a 7-year-old girl who had lived in happier times when the apartments were still fields. The girl only wanted love, said the medium, and requested permission to stay with the woman and to enter the doll, which they granted, much to Ed and Warren's dismay. Activity increased over the course of a year, culminating in Lou having a dream about the doll floating over him, hands on his neck, strangling him. On another occasion, he heard sounds in Donna's room and went to investigate, encountering the doll on the floor while something attacked him from behind, leaving 7 bloody claw marks, which they said was a symbolic mark of the beast. Currently, the Warren's Occult Museum is closed after Lorraine recently passed away. As with each of these dolls, the story would be treated with healthy skepticism considering the lack of corroboration. However, Annabelle is the most famous allegedly haunted doll, and her tale continues in the year's 3rd standalone Annabelle movie for all to enjoy. And, Annabelle's not the only haunted doll that's out there. There's also Robert the Doll. Before Annabelle made her big screen debut in The Conjuring, Robert was the most famous doll out there. The doll looks almost more simian than human, with black beady eyes, tiny distress cuts on his face, a peculiar grin, and wearing a little sailor outfit likely originally worn by his owner, Robert Eugene Otto of Key, West Florida. Robert the Doll's story goes back to 1904 when the real Robert, a boy who went by Gene, acquired it from his grandfather who'd recently returned from a trip to Germany. Manufactured by the Steiff Company, which had made the first teddy bear, the wood wool stuffed life-size doll was possibly intended as more of a display mannequin, though some say a maid in the Otto family gave Gene the doll imbued with voodoo magic. Robert was a constant companion for Gene, and was accused by the boy of various misdeeds and mysterious movements by the boy. Toys might be mutilated, furniture overturned, and eerie giggles might be heard throughout the Otto home that Gene always placed the blame, and Gene always placed the blame on Robert. As he grew older, Gene became an artist, and his inherited home was known as the Artist House. There, Robert would be perched in a window on the 2nd-floor turret room, where people claim he may change position by himself. After Gene died in 1974, Myrtle Reuter purchased the home, and Robert came with it. She said the doll would move on its own, giggle, and change expression should anyone disparage Gene. In 1994, Reuter donated the doll to the Fort East Metallo Museum, the gallery for which was designed by Gene. Even before Robert became an attraction, he began attracting visitors who had heard of him. Kept in a glass display case, Robert lives at the museum still, where people claim to be cursed by him should they insult him or take his photo without asking for permission. The doll is also credited for interfering with electronic devices. The doll is thus a bit of a celebrity, receiving about 3 letters a day that range from apologies for bad behavior toward him to letters asking for advice. Robert is said to be a fan of sweets as well, and some people send candy. Interestingly enough, Robert the Doll sits with his own doll, a dog with a gaping mouth that resembles the "This Is Fine" meme. So there you go. 2 of the world's most famous haunted dolls, Robert the Doll and Annabelle the Doll. Weird, bizarre, strange. The idea that an entity can attach to a person is one thing. The idea that it can attach to a child's plaything is just downright creepy. All I can think about is Chucky. That's all I can think about, the idea that spirit of that murderer went into a doll and he tried to kill a bunch of people. You know, I kind of wonder sometimes, you know, how much, you know, the haunted doll thing is real. There have been times in my own paranormal investigations where I've come across childish behavior by spirits, so it wouldn't surprise me if it's possible. Luckily for me, there's been no haunted dolls in Newfoundland as far as I know, or at least none brought to my attention. But if there ever was, man, oh man, would I love to investigate it. Guys, I hope you're really enjoying 31 Days of Halloween, the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast Halloween special. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and you'll hear from me tomorrow. Take care.